shall come to thee, O Israel.
This Sunday morning marks the first Sunday of the season, which is known as Advent. And we have always, within this fellowship, on the Sundays of Advent, shared a Advent prophecy relating to the coming of the Christ. I wanted to do this first one so that I could just give you a kind of overview of what this Advent season for us here at Jesus is Lord is going to be like. We have a special series of scriptures and messages for the occasion, and the basic theme of our Advent message is entitled The Message of Advent. And at each of the four Sundays, we'll be looking at a different aspect of that message. And we begin, of course, this Sunday morning, and the specific focus of our message of Advent for today is entitled The Proclamation. We are going to read as our Advent prophecy from Isaiah chapter 60. And during the remaining 3 weeks, it has been our tradition that someone from the congregation reads the Advent prophecy and lights the appropriate Advent candles. So if three of you would like to volunteer, it would be very, very welcome for us to receive you and your name. So today, the Advent prophecy comes to us from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60. And we begin our reading with verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, and the multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba, they shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Thus far, the first Advent prophecy. As we enter now this very special season of Advent, I always believe that it is one of those beautiful, beautiful times of the year, irrespective of what the circumstances are in our world, in our nation, in our city, in our family, and in our own personal lives. I believe, over the years having experienced this, that the faithful observance and keeping of Advent can not only make a difference in our celebration of the incarnation of Christ, it can make a profound difference in our journey through the month of December with all of the challenges, activities, and sometimes stress that the days of December can bring to the average family. I did some research this past week on the subject of Advent historically. And Advent was one of the final seasons that was set by the church fathers centuries ago. As you may think, if you haven't thought about it before, you could, I believe, assume that the first and primary festival ever to be celebrated in Christendom was the resurrection of Christ. But gradually, other events began to occur that were remembered with festival services and special worship times and music appropriate and scriptures appropriate for those occasions. One of the next events that came to be celebrated was the festival of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, marking the coming and the presentation to the world of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Other events were added as time went on. Good Friday, for example, the entire Lenten season, and then various other spiritual festivals were added to the church calendar through about approximately the 6th century. There hasn't been a great change in the church calendar from 6th to the 10th century, even down until today. The last event to be celebrated on the calendar, as I said, was the season of Advent. And so why did the church fathers choose to ignore the earthly calendar and put in place what is known as the church calendar? The church calendar does not follow the days and the seasons of the cultural worldly calendar. For example, last Sunday marked the end of the church year, the festival of Christ the King. First Sunday in Advent, which normally occurs the last Sunday of November, marks the beginning of the church year. And then it coincides and moves along according to the calendar as it is fixed. The reason for these fixed dates is that the church fathers wanted to be certain that with all that was happening in the world, even in their day, in their time, virtually every season of history and of life, there are events that are gargantuan in size and scope and what the influence of those activities might be. Therefore, to set the focus of the Lord's people on the Lord, His Word, His Holy Spirit, His work, and His worship, the church calendar was set in place and has been followed by many, many, many denominations, congregations in Christendom in every nation of the world. One of my regrets is that with so much focus today upon contemporary worship, and particularly contemporary music, many, many, many thousands of congregations no longer observe what is called the calendar of the church year. Every Sunday is a Sunday, and while the worship may be very, very, very moving and energetic, it is not always able to bring about the depth of understanding that comes when we put our emphasis upon the main points of Scripture for our mutual understanding, inspiration, encouragement, and blessing. I did not have my Christian radio on during the time that Miss Judith was downstairs because it seemed to somewhat interfere with her thinking, and just it wasn't appropriate. So for several weeks while she was in the lower area, family room and so forth, I did not have the Christian radio on. And a few days ago, I reset it in the area where I am. And already the Christian airwaves were being flooded with so-called Christian songs. And some of them, in my spirit, do not resound with what I would call a worshipful kind of experience. And some said, well, you're too critical. They're not meant to be worshipful. They're meant to be entertaining. Well, maybe so. And that, by the way, they're meant for young people. Young people need to have bombastic, loud, reverberating music to awaken them and to draw them in. And that perhaps is true. I don't know. Our young folks, our boys, never seem to require that, but that has changed. They're 52 years old Tuesday. But I couldn't help wondering, where is all this beautiful, beautiful Christian Christmas music that we've enjoyed over the years? Now, I suspect as we get a little closer to Christmas, some of that will come forth. But even going into stores like Myers to pick up a prescription for Judy yesterday, some silly, silly songs. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. That's a twisted, twisted song. Maybe it's fun. I don't know. I just shook my head and said, okay, if that's what you need. But I want to make a plea with you today that you will take some time out these 4 weeks and invest some of your time in some meaningful meditation, reading of Scripture. If you need any guidance along that line, I'll be very honored and happy to supply you with material. I recall for many years as I was growing up, one of the highlights of our whole year were our Wednesday evening Advent services at Grace Lutheran Church. It was a very, very, very special, special time. We didn't sing Christmas carols. The Christmas decorations weren't up. It was all about Advent. It was all about preparing. It was all about getting ready. It was all about the focus upon the Scriptures and Father God's preparation to send His Son, the Lord Jesus. And I know last year, more than any year, I always hear this, but more than ever last year, I heard people saying about December the 20th, I am so tired of Christmas, I'll be glad when it's over. Well, some of that might be stress from preparation activities of a worldly kind, I don't know. But I have always loved Advent and a time to really get into the Word of the Lord and discover what the Lord prepared. What did He have in mind when all of these events that are only really part of the Advent story, the story of Zacharias. That's not a story for the season of Lent or resurrection or the story of Anna, the prophetess in the temple. These accounts in Scripture, historical accounts in Scripture, are all there to help us see a broader, greater, deeper understanding of what the message of the gospel, the message of Advent, and really the message of the kingdom of God is all about. Maybe one prayer that I have, which I can share with you, got lots of them, is that during the Advent season, and especially during our time here on Sunday morning, these 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, I want to make a greater presentation of the Lord's message of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is come. The kingdom, yesterday when I was talking with the grandchildren, that was Friday, and they were singing one of the songs, we sang some Christmas carols together, Joy to the Lord. They were taught in their school to sing Joy to the Lord has come. But you know, the real text of that is the Lord is come. The Lord is coming. He came at the first Advent. He comes to us daily. He comes to us particularly next Sunday morning beneath the forms of bread and wine as we share the feast of the Lord together. And the Advent message finally says He's coming again. And some believe His coming again is very soon. And so I pray that we can have more of a kingdom focus on our Advent season this year than maybe we have in years past. I also wrote down here that the Advent season, perhaps more than any other, from Scripture's point of view, is a season of prophecy. a season of prophecy. Now, I understand that the whole prophetic message, for some people, it's just a total mystery. I've had people say to me, I read Jeremiah, I don't get anything out of that. Well, that's sad. And the church, I believe, we, the church, need to do a much better job of actually teaching the prophetic message of the Word of God. Because the Advent prophecies are mostly all about the Christ who is coming, who came in his incarnation. But the New Testament, particularly the New Testament, is flooded with prophetic utterances about the Jesus who is coming again. And that's why I read that first Advent prophecy today, "Arise, shine, thy light not has come, thy light is come," because the light is coming each time we speak and share the Word of God. The light is come. And then finally here, just by way of introduction, I want to say to you, about 3 o'clock this morning, I couldn't sleep, so I got up and did a few things and opened my scripture and looked at some of these texts for Advent. And it seemed to me that the Lord was nudging me, not scolding, just nudging me, to say to each of you this morning, whatever Advent is for you, whatever Advent has been or has not been for you, this year, Advent will be for you what you choose to make of it. If for you, Advent is something we do, we change the colors of the pyramids in the church to violet. They're not purple, they're violet. Violet is the color of royalty and kingship, not purple, it's violet. And we change everything to violet, or we sing a few seasonal songs on Sunday morning. If that's the beginning, middle, and end of it all, I don't imagine Advent won't make much difference. But if somehow the Holy Spirit can take these words that I've brought you this morning and instill within you a desire to say, "Lord, I want this Advent to be more, to mean more, to achieve more in me, in my spirit, so that when I do come to the celebration of your birth and of Christmas, it will be a richer, it will be a fuller, it will be a much deeper experience than maybe it has been." And as we grow older, it seems to me there's more time and maybe more time necessary as we grow closer to our own transport home to be with the Father, to be even more diligent in preparing our hearts. We've spent a lot of time preparing our homes. Oh my goodness, a lot of time preparing our homes, our meals, our gifts, our cards. Don't even like to think about the chore with all those cards, because Miss Judith is not going to be doing cards this year. So it will fall to me, which is a privilege. But along with all that stuff, there has to be time to sit down and say, "Lord, I sure pray this Christmas, this Advent, is going to be richer and deeper and fuller. And maybe I can share some of that richness with my family, with my grandchildren particularly, and with others." I'll just give you a small little example of how easy this is. I had to go to Walgreens drugstore, and for the first time ever, I didn't have to stand in line. I got through there much quicker. The car didn't even cool off while I was in there. But it was cold that day. The wind was howling, and this poor young lady that was tending the Salvation Army kettle, she was so cold that I didn't even see her. She was hiding behind a pillar to stop somehow that wind coming off the lake. And I almost went by her. But then I heard the bell ring, but I didn't see her. And I went around, and well, there she was, kind of huddled behind the brick pillar there. And I said to her, "Dear lady, you need a cup of hot chocolate." I thought that was appropriate. "Oh, no, sir. No, no, sir." She said, now follow this. She said, "You know what I need?" "No, ma'am." I said, all I could think of was hot chocolate. "Oh, no, no, no." She said, "I forgot my scarf. And I'm so cold around my throat and my neck." I said, "Ma'am, this is your day." And I took off one of those beautiful scarves that Judy makes, and I wrapped it around her neck. "Oh," she said, "I could kiss you." "No, no, no." I said, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. Well, she said, "How will you get along without your scarf?" "Ma'am," I said, "I'm married to a scarf maker. And when I get home, there are six more of different colors, and I'll find one of them to wear." And when I got in the car and sat down, I said, "Lord, was that a coincidence? Was that I had the scarf?" Well, mostly do in the winter. Or that she was hiding back there and I couldn't. See, all these kinds of opportunities are little opportunities for you and for me to extend the love, the favor, the grace, if you will, of Almighty God. So we will have, as it were, four different messages for Advent, all around the theme, the message of Advent. And today I'm sharing with you what I've called the proclamation, the announcement of Advent. And then we will look at the visitations of Advent. Lots of visitations. We'll try to get them all in one message. And then we'll look at the invitation of Advent. And finally, so that we don't lose sight of his second coming, the last Sunday of Advent, we'll consider the culmination of Advent. So the proclamation, the visitations, the invitation, and the culmination of Advent. That will be our message. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the kingdom of God in our day. Let us pray. Holy Father, we are so blessed in this congregation. You have given us so much and asked so little. You've blessed us beyond measure. You said you would open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings as we could not contain them. We don't have enough baskets and buckets to contain all the blessings. That's why the blessings are meant to overflow. Your blessings are meant to overflow the landscape of our personal lives so that there's an abundance to share with others whom you bring our way. Let us be faithful, Father. Let us be ready. Let us be prepared for whatever it is that you bring to pass. All glory, all honor, and all praise go to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen.